Support for this Public Radio Tulsa podcast is provided by Chamber Music Tulsa, who presents the Miro Quartet live in concert at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center April 5th. For more information, visit chambermusictulsa.org. In 1823, 26-year-old Franz Schubert had his first brush with death. That year, he spent several days in a Viennese hospital, suffering from a significant bout with the illness that would ultimately claim his life just 5 years later. When he finally left the hospital, Schubert began writing music of increasingly ambitious dimensions, including this piece, his most popular string quartet. It's Franz Schubert's Death and the Maiden string quartet in 10 minutes or less. I'm Jason Heilman. Of all the composers who called Vienna home, Franz Schubert was one of the few to have actually been born there. Schubert wasn't quite a child prodigy in the same league as Mozart, but he did start composing at age 12, and his parents signed him up for composition lessons with none other than Antonio Salieri when he was still a teenager. By the time he was 19, Schubert had written no less than 11 string quartets, which he would play at home alongside his father and his two brothers. But most of these quartets weren't anything special. And when he finished his schooling, Schubert quickly realized that a career as a professional composer probably wasn't in the cards. Instead, he followed in his father's footsteps and became a school teacher. But the call of music was impossible to resist, and soon Schubert fell in with a circle of friends who frequented salon parties. Now, when we think of salons in the 19th century, we tend to imagine gatherings where the latest literature or poetry were read aloud and discussed. This being Vienna, those poems were instead sung in settings for solo voice and piano that became known as Lieder. Schubert tried his hand at writing these Lieder as a teenager and discovered he was pretty good at it. Eventually, he came to write over 600 songs and became such a fixture on the Viennese social scene that these musical salon gatherings became known as Schubertiades. Schubert started publishing his songs in 1821, and he was soon able to earn enough money that he could quit his teaching job and focus on songwriting full-time. But just when things seemed to be coming together for him, illness struck. Now, we're not quite sure what caused Schubert to be hospitalized in 1823, or what ultimately took his life in 1828. At the time, they called it consumption, but that was usually a euphemism for something else. More recent theories suggest that it might have been syphilis, making Schubert the victim of his own success. Whatever the cause, Schubert's time in the hospital destroyed his finances and put his own mortality at the center of his thoughts, leading him into a spiraling depression. In a letter to one of his close friends, Schubert wrote, "Imagine a man whose health will never be right again, and who, in sheer despair, continually makes things worse and worse instead of better. Imagine a man whose most brilliant hopes have perished, to whom the felicity of love and friendship have nothing to offer but pain at best. I ask you, is he not a miserable, unhappy being?" One of the things weighing on Schubert's mind was the notion that his brilliant songs were nothing more than ephemeral trifles, and that they would be forgotten after his death. True musical immortality in what was, at the time, still Beethoven's Vienna, was earned through operas, symphonies, and string quartets. Schubert had only toyed with those genres after his rise to fame, but following his brush with death, he threw himself into them, creating a completely new legacy for himself in his final years. This is how Franz Schubert came to compose a pair of string quartets in 1824 that were unlike any he had written before. And in what was by then a rare twist, they each quoted earlier Schubert works. His tuneful Rosamunde Quartet borrowed a melody from his recent incidental music to the play by the same name. But his bleaker Death and the Maiden Quartet reached back even farther to a song Schubert had set to music in 1817, when he was just 19 years old. Written in 1774 by the German poet Matthias Claudius, Der Tod und das Mädchen is an invented folk legend about a young woman who gets visited by the figure of death himself. Immediately, she pleads for her life, saying, "Pass, go, vicious skeleton, I am still young." But death is insistent, calmly intoning, "Give your hand, you beautiful and gentle thing. You shall sleep softly in my arms." True to form, Schubert treated the two characters very differently in his song setting of this poem, giving breathless music to the maiden,
rüber,
and a more somber, almost chant-like melody to the specter of death. It's that latter melody that Schubert uses as the basis for a theme and variations in one of the string quartet's movements, and that's the real reason why it's come to be known as the Death and the Maiden Quartet. But given how preoccupied Schubert was with his own mortality at the time, it's hard not to read the D minor string quartet entirely through the lens of a young person raging against the inevitable approach of death. The opening movement of the quartet is especially bleak for one of Schubert's works, something that surprised even his friends at the time. Taking a page from Beethoven, and specifically Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, that bleak opening gesture becomes the basis for the first movement's primary theme, which follows soon after. Then, after some clever misdirection on Schubert's part, this segues into an almost pastoral second theme. And while it might sound calm here, that theme returns in a number of different guises, with the interplay and development of the two themes forming the basis of the entire first movement. The second movement begins with the chant-like Death and the Maiden song melody we heard earlier, and then subjects it to five increasingly dramatic variations, reaching an emotional climax in the final one. That intensity is dispelled right away in the third movement, which seems to evoke the idea of Death tuning up his fiddle and playing a dancing tune. The music here is a kind of off-kilter Ländler dance, a rustic precursor to the waltz, which is briefly interrupted by a lyrical central trio section before returning. This brings us to the finale and the question of how Schubert will end his most intense string quartet. His choice here is telling. The fourth movement is in the style of a tarantella, a characteristically Italian dance that has a particularly relevant backstory. Legend has it that if you were bitten by a poisonous spider, which is to say a tarantula, you could save your own life by dancing frenetically to work out the poison, and that dance became known as the tarantella. With this simple dance, Schubert brings his quartet all the way from the grim specter of death to a desperate affirmation of life. It's as though he's telling us that while death comes for us all, he's not going to accept his fate willingly. Instead, he's going to struggle against it in the only way that he really can, by composing monumental musical works that will outlive him when he's gone. Unfortunately, the initial response to Schubert's Death and the Maiden Quartet at its premiere in 1826 was not at all positive. While he was able to publish his lighter Rosamunde Quartet, the public balked at the darker tone of the Death and the Maiden, and Schubert was forced to set it aside. It wasn't until 1831, nearly 4 years after Schubert's death, that the piece was rediscovered, but since then it's become one of the most frequently performed and recorded quartets in the entire repertoire. Death, it seems, was transcended after all. This was Franz Schubert's Death and the Maiden String Quartet in 10 Minutes or Less. For Public Radio Tulsa's Classical Tulsa, I'm Jason Heilman. Thanks for listening.